And let's get it going, dude. Everybody, welcome. Thank you for coming in. As you can see, Chris isn't here. Chris is normally the one that pulls the strings behind the scenes on this digital ventriloquist dummy, but here we are. And so we got Nick. You guys recognize him in the chat all the time as Boone. And here we are, dude. Boone is sitting second chair while Chris is in Wisconsin back home. He is at his sister's wedding rehearsal because Chris is the flower girl. So he's got to be there to make sure shit goes down the way it's supposed to. He gets those flower petals on the wedding aisle and gets those steps right. So that's what we're doing, man. And as you guys already know, this is a live fire. I am Brandon from I Came With Fire podcast. Normally Chris Hambrock from Common Freaking Census here, but we got Nick. Nick, go ahead and introduce yourself, bro.
Oh yeah, man. I'm Boone, otherwise known as Nick, and dude, I'm just a supporter of all you guys that do all these fucking shows, man.
Hell yeah, dude. If you're watching, just want to say appreciate you guys for being here. And then be ready for more technical difficulties as we go through this, because I'm not normally the bad bitch that runs this shit. It's normally the cutie pie from CFC that does it. So, but as you guys already know, we're going to start this show with the meme review. So we're going to get that going here. And we want to thank our sponsors real fast and say, if you want to use code FIRE10 over at Skull and Crossbeans Coffee, Redefine Violence, or the Light Sleeper, you can head on over there, get some awesome merch, MMA gear, coffee, or a pretty badass light summer tent. And if you want more info on that, the tent, hit up Chris from CFC. He owns one and can tell you all about it. So without further ado, let's hop into the rapid fire review.
Get that shit.
Hell yeah, man.
That never gets old.
Oop, there it goes one more time. Hell yeah. All right, man. We'll get it going.
You don't want our
goal. We can get it going. Kind of a dumb setup. Somebody should tell Riverside. I'll tell Riverside. There we are.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start with these memes real fast here. I'm going to share this screen. You guys can see it. We're going to talk about some dumb shit going on in the world. Everybody already knows. We'll start over here. So, Nick, what are you sipping on tonight, bro?
Dude, tonight? Fucking Travelers.
Oh, Travelers, dude? Tasty. Me too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, dude. So Nick turned me on to Travelers. It's good shit. So we're going to start with some funny stuff first, obviously, and then we're going to get to the real serious shit. If you guys can see here, this is the new VP pick for Kamala Harris, Mr. Tim Walz, with some horses in the background. And for all my fine connoisseurs out there who may recognize that this is a recycled meme, because apparently Mr. Walz likes horse semen, or so they say. I don't know. I can't confirm that, but the horses look happy back there. And Mr. Walz looks happy too, and that's what's important.
I like that one.
I think that's pretty good, bro.
There's no thing called winning fair and square anymore, bro. You gotta do what you gotta do.
I mean, what do you think? What do you think about Tim Walz, man?
Well, I mean, one, I don't know about the horse stuff, but everything else he's got going on, man, it's well, that's a good one. Dude, let me tell you something about that. There's no way that she did not go into a closet in whatever mansion that she has existing and did not.
It's probably the same closet that she used to fucking smash those servers for those emails that she was tracking and illegally tracking. You know what I'm talking about? Dude, this one fucking killed me, dude. Because I know this fucking dumb bitch went into her closet, like you said, and had an absolute meltdown. I'm sure Bill left the house for at least 2 weeks. And God knows, dude, she probably got like a bunch of chumps on standby that like if they went missing, no one would know. And she just probably just had them waxed and buried somewhere in the middle of a field just out of pure spite and anger. But yeah, this one fucking killed me, dude. Her ass over in the fucking straitjacket. Here we go again, yeah, with more weird shit with Tim Walz, bro. Someone in here needed a tampon. Well, you know, when you're the governor of Minnesota and you sign into law that you can put tampons in boys' bathrooms, it's a little fucking weird because I mean, what does biology say, Nick?
Boys don't do that.
Boys don't menstruate.
Yeah.
Yeah, boys don't menstruate, you know.
What about those sick ass tattoos, though, man?
That's what I'm trying to say, dude. Look, maybe a little cross action going on here. I don't know, dude. But I would totally, if this was a real photo of Tim Walz, it wouldn't surprise me at all. This next one coming up is fucking gold, dude. How many of my millennial friends in here remember Animorphs, dude? The Kamala Morphs right here, dude. I love this full-size Lauryn Hill afro she's got going on. The transformation, whoever did this is a fucking whiz, dude. Here we got Kamala.
Has she come out and said that she's Indian since she's now presidential candidate?
Dude, that's the thing, man. She hasn't. And the other thing with the two is, like, I don't give a shit if she's biracial at all. Like, if she's Indian and Jamaican, cool.
Yeah,
but she's pretending to be cultural black, and that's what's annoying to me. She throws on this fucking accent. She gets on stage and acts, again, like, culturally black. She's never been a culturally black person. I remember even seeing articles when she got elected there for the AG position in San Francisco about how she was the first Indian woman ever elected. And that's what we were excited about apparently at that point. But the Democrats are going to play and pander down to the black piece of this.
So she's never been black, and Tim didn't retire as an E9.
No, he didn't. We are definitely going to talk about Tim and his command sergeant major days and what that was like. But we'll move on here, right here. No one cared what kind of sex you were having until you started talking to kids about it, dude. The fact that pedophilia and kids and sex isn't a red line for everybody is a fucking travesty and a little sketchy, in my opinion.
So it's not just that, bro. It's the protections that they're given to pedophilia. It's the so in the world that I operate in for paperwork, everything's about definitions. And the fact that they're trying to define that all of this is normal is absurd.
Right. So here's something I pulled up in reference to this one, okay? I'm going to talk about it real fast. So there was a Minnesota statute that talked about protections. These are social protections for people and their sexual orientations. When it first came out in 2022, it had language in there, and it says sexual orientation does not include physical or sexual attachment to children by an adult. Okay, so it basically says that pedophilia does not count as a sexual orientation and is therefore not protected under this law. Tim Walz had that language, sexual orientation does not include a physical or sexual attachment to a child by an adult, as a sexual orientation. So why would you have that language removed? Like, what is the point here? Who are you trying to protect is the question I want to know.
Right. Exactly.
To me, it says to me that you're trying to normalize pedophilia. In my opinion, and I think 100% that there is some sort of global agenda for that. Just my personal opinion.
Yep. No, 100%, dude.
Jump to the next one right here, dude. Dude, right here. Boomers. This one kills me, man. Voting Kamala as one final fuck you to their kids, dude. You know, I would sometimes argue that that Gen Z is the worst fucking generation there is. But I think that the voters are still out on that one because boomers have had a lot more time than Gen Z to do anything. And when you think about it, dude, all the dumb shit that has been like happening decade after decade in our country, it is 100% boomers perpetuating all of that shit, man.
Right.
So, I don't know, dude. Just to me, that's how I feel about it. Politicians who go to... This one is just talking about the robots right here, dude. Politicians who go to pedophile islands and start wars for profit told me the vaccine was safe. Dude, how many people out there had family members that tried to shame them into getting the vaccine, threaten you with like contact with grandkids, contact with nieces and nephews, dude? Like, these are the same people that are going out there and voting for fucking Kamala. Gonna say they're gonna vote for Kamala, but back to our other one, dude. Kamala was speaking in Atlanta. I gotta say, this one's kind of funny because Michael Jackson did turn, white, so it's kind of funny, just like this picture shows, dude. But this one fucking cracked me up, dude. This is the fact that like she does. I just don't understand how if you're a black person in this country, you don't want to be pandered to. You don't want the soft bigotry of low expectations put on you, but at the same time, you're going to sit there and you're going to listen to her fucking talk about or talk to you in this sort of way. And you don't get upset by it at all. Like, I don't see enough of that community like coming out and having anything to say about it. So it's really weird to me that I don't see that happening. But
Right.
anyway, that's the fucking memes for tonight, dude. And obviously there's some fucking weird shit going on. But I'm gonna jump into here. We should talk about the news and some of these headlines, man, real quick here.
Hell yeah, dude. Fucking send it. Finally got my fucking internet back up.
Oh, are you all right, dude?
Yeah, I'm good.
The gun fell off the table.
Is the gun okay?
Is the gun okay?
Is it? We never learned if the gun's okay. Will we ever figure it out?
That's the most important thing. I'm going to go ahead and assume that the gun is probably okay, given the size of the gun and how small those fucking people are. But yeah, dude, I just want to say that there's a lot of weird shit going on, and I've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I took fucking notes today, bro. Can we say fucking? I forgot to ask.
You can say whatever the absolute fuck you want. There you go.
All right. Just making sure. I say fucking.
Nah, dude, what notes were you taking?
Oh, and all that shit you sent me? You're like, hey, man, here's the fucking shit to study up on. I got fucking notes, bro.
Dude, so, let's fucking just jump in and talk about it, man.
Whichever one you want to fucking throw down on.
I'm going to do it.
I'd have another
pull. I'm going to pull this screen back up real quick here. All right, so this first one, I want to talk about several U.S. personnel injured in Iranian-backed terror attack on base in Iraq, right? So if you're watching this and you've seen this, you're probably one of those people who's wondering, like, why are there American troops still in Iraq? Because there's a lot of people that probably don't even know that. Like, did you know that when you saw that on the news?
Yeah, dude. We don't, dude. So just because we, leave an area doesn't mean we leave an area, man. And, I guess.
That's a good point.
In recent conversations with a lot of my buddies who've never been around the military, there's this big grand fucking thought process about how the military operates and all these kind of wonderful things. I'm like, yes, there's a lot of great things about the military, but there's a lot of bad things about it as well. And so in the research I did on this, like since October 7th, bro, when Hamas did all this shit, dude, it's been like 200 attacks since then.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing new.
Dude, well, so I want to talk a little bit about so obviously this is all connected to everything that's going on in Israel. And this is something that we've talked about on the podcast a few different times. And we had a conversation with Aaron Love on our episode that came out like maybe a month ago now. We were talking essentially about, Aaron was making the point that the United States doesn't actually have allies. And the point, this one got a lot of people upset on YouTube. And honestly, if you follow us on YouTube, you should go to that short that I shared about the allies thing. And you should read some of the butthurt shit that people were saying about what Aaron was saying on there. And like, Aaron was not saying that we don't have people that show up for us, because obviously, like when you talk about like NATO, like the United States is the one that tapped the Article 5 thing and like got people into it. We have allies in Australia, we got the UK and all that shit.
Right.
But the point he was trying to make is, dude, no one goes to bat for the United States the way the United States goes to bat for people that really would not go to bat for us the same way. And one of those people, and one of those countries, I should say, is Israel. Right. You have like Israel literally attacked an American ship at one point. OK. And then did all this work to cover it up. And so the United States helped them cover it up. Right. And this whole conflict in the Middle East with Israel and what's going on in Gaza and Palestine has been going on for a long fucking time. The Middle East has been a big issue. And a lot of that issue was exacerbated by the Sykes-Picot Agreement that happened after World War One, because the French and the English decided to just basically divvy up the Middle East with no fucking idea or recourse about anything that happened, right? But the point is, dude, is like you still have American troops in the line of fire. And how much of this was actually happening when Donald Trump was president?
Mm-hmm.
Not of it, dude. Not a single lick of it, man. And that's to the point of this. This is one of the things I actually kind of wanted to talk about tonight, is that I see all these people who are concerned about issues that are domestic, which is totally right. But these issues that I'm referring to are, LGBTQ issues. These are issues that are related to, you know, like social welfare, things like that. But the question I really want to ask people that are justifying mentally that they are going to vote for Kamala Harris, do you really want that person and Tim Walz leading us into a future where there are world powers challenging the United States for hegemonic power? Like, riff on that for a bit.
No, so if folks aren't realizing that they want to have, or they want things to change, but yet they're still willing to keep the same results, you know, so like, how long has Kamala Harris been a vice president? You know what I mean? And how much has she done to make things better? If, I mean, like one thing, somebody name me one thing in the chat. You know what I mean? I can't think of anything.
No, I can't either. No, and that's kind of the point that I'm trying to make here, man. And she sits there and she goes on stage and she says, on day one, I'm going to make groceries cheaper. It's like, do you not fucking think that we all don't realize that you're still the vice president? Like, why can't you make my groceries cheaper now? If you're going to do that in November, on November 6th, then what the fuck are you going to be doing on that day, right? That you aren't already 100%. Doing. Yeah, let's jump to the next one here, man. Fucking talk about the next headline, because there's a lot of shit going on in the world. I don't want to talk about it.
Shout out to Man Taco first, bro. Fucking Man Taco, Giuseppe, Adam, saw you guys.
Man Taco, Giuseppe, all those guys. If I missed you, Alpha Armory, if you're in there, I haven't seen you. My bad, man. But this one right here. And then also, I just want to say too, bro, that the duo of me and Chris on here, when he does this, like, I apologize to everybody watching if this shit is rough, but we're doing it. Anyway,
since we're apologizing, bro, let me go ahead and apologize for my swamp internet. If I freeze on camera, my bad. Swamp internet for life.
Hell yeah, dog. All right, so we're going to talk about Vance. It says Vance accuses Walz of stolen valor as he campaigns in the Midwest. Let me kill the screen real quick, and we'll fucking talk. We'll talk about this one. Okay, so here's the issue with this, right? The issue with this article specifically is that the left is trying to make the stolen valor thing a right-wing talking point. And that's not fair, right? If stolen valor is going on, which in my opinion it is, then it's not a right or a left-wing talking point. It's something that all Americans should have an issue with. And so if you're watching and you don't understand what the stolen valor thing is, right? So stolen valor in general is when people pretend to be the military, or even people in the military lying about their service or what they did in their service. That's called stolen valor. And there's actual laws to protect that from happening. And it's considered a felony in some places, and it should be, right? But the issue here is that in his National Guard unit, Tim Walz was holding a position as an E-9 pay grade. A sergeant major in the Army is an E-9, okay? And he was holding that position, and he was what we call frocking that rank, which means he was wearing that rank while he was holding that position, but he had not accomplished all of the responsibilities for that rank to hold that pay grade officially yet, right? In the middle of him attending the Sergeant's Major Academy, he removed himself from it, right? And this is where the whole, not deploying to Iraq thing comes in, and him dropping his retirement papers things happen, which is separate from this, okay? So him leaving the Sergeant's Major Academy in the middle of it and not completing his professional military education, or that PME that I'm talking about with the acronym the military uses, means he did not complete all of the requirements to hold that rank and retire as that rank. So his DD Form 214, which is what I have, anybody who served in the military, whether you are retired, whether you are separated, even if you're dishonorably discharged, you get one of those forms that says, thanks for playing, right? And your final pay grade is whatever it was when you got out. And his final pay grade is an Army Master Sergeant, right? And so did he technically frock the rank of Command Sergeant Major and Sergeant Major? Right? So Command Sergeant Major is a position that a Sergeant Major holds, right? The Air Force, I'm Air Force, has same positions, right? You can, at the highest rank in the enlisted force of the Air Force is Chief Master Sergeant, right? You can be a Command Chief Master Sergeant at multiple levels, right? So you can be a Command Chief for a group. You can be a Command Chief for a wing. You can be a Command Chief for an entire MAGCOM, which is multiple bases. And this is, I'm speaking Air Force right now for our listeners, right? Tim Walz said that he was a Command Sergeant Major and that he was a retired command sergeant major. And he's not. And he did not retire that way. And he used that position as a basically a launching point for his political career to say that he was and using it for political gain, right? And every year there is the sergeant major essentially who took over after him who calls him out, and he's been on the local news. If you're on our page, you can see that he's on there and the news interview that he did with the media. So the problem with everybody that should be, and this is, I'm military, you're military, Nick, you're a veteran, right? Yeah. We all don't like when people do shit like this, especially people using it for positional power and for personal gain. Chris, like I said, is in Wisconsin, but he's going to jump in the chat. We are trying something new because we want to start doing live calls with you guys and let people call in. So I'm going to pop Chris in the chat real quick here so we can talk. Yo, what's up, Chris?
What's up, man?
How you doing, buddy? Fucking,
dude, this episode is rough, bro. But we're holding it down. We're fucking it up, man.
Nah, you guys are doing good, man. I tell you what, I got about 15 good minutes, and like I tell my wife, I'm gonna give you every inch of it. So what are we talking about? What's going on?
No, bro, we were just talking about the whole Tim Walz Sergeant Major thing, man, and I was kind of explaining what stolen valor meant, and then B, what frocking is, okay? Because not every service frocks. The Air Force does not frock ranks, right? But that he was using it for political gain, positional power within his political campaign, and that's basically where I popped you in at so we could have a conversation about it.
Yeah, let's go. Because, I mean, like, one of the things that pisses me off about him the most is, you know, not just the whole stolen valor thing, but even before that, it's like, dude, you were the highest ranking enlisted man for your unit, and then you got an opportunity. You knew it was coming down the pike. We all know that senior NCOs get information, like, before the boys do. So I have to imagine this dude knew that they were going to Iraq, like, well before anybody else did. And then come to find out, he doesn't even drop his retirement rank through proper channels, which would be to go through his brigade CSM, his leadership, and be like, hey, I'm doing this. No, he went like straight to HRC and like filed his retirement paperwork without telling anybody, which is not just stabbing his boys in the back. That's stabbing his leadership in the back. That leaves his captain or his battalion commander without a right hand man, leaves the boys without leadership, leaves the brigade CSM without a dude that he can lean on.
Now, dog.
And just basically, you know, reached down between his legs and was like, boom, and just hit the punch out button and just leaves these dudes behind. And you and I both know, and you too, Boone, like you just don't do that. So before anything else, this dude's a backstabber and a coward. Like first thing. And I got to say, I jumped on board with everybody else. I was going through some of my favorite follows over on, you know, Twitter or X or whatever the hell we're supposed to call it now. And that whole trend of like, this was me not being Tim Walz. I had to jump in on this because I'm like, and then come to find out, I see a picture of him wearing a First Special Forces Group hat out and about. And I just like, I texted a buddy of mine who will remain nameless, but I was like, yo, I want this scalp.
Listen, like, I want to say something about that too, right? Because if you go to any PX or you go to any BX, right, you're going to find gear with some unit on it. You know, you can go buy a fucking t-shirt that says pararescue, that others may live, or, you know, TAC-P, death from above, or whatever. You know what I mean? And you can wear that shirt, and that's totally fine. And we get it, right? Like, especially if you're buying the shirt, like the ones ready guys, like Aaron, Peaches, Trent, you go buy their gear. It says PG on it. It says CCT. It says Special Recon, all the shit. You know, you're supporting them. But when you were, okay, you held the position of a sergeant major and you're a master sergeant and you're wearing a green beret hat out and about, dude, you're fucking trying to make yourself adjacent to this and you're doing it for clout.
Well, and we all know too, like I won't even wear team gear from a team that I didn't serve on.
And why
I've been on two ODAs, so I have two teams worth of gear, but that also represents a little bit of your resume. I wouldn't wear another team's gear. You just don't do that. And I certainly wouldn't get caught dead wearing, you know, like another Special Forces Group's colors.
Yeah.
You just
could you imagine
don't
if you were
do
rocking a tier one unit's fucking t-shirt or some shit? Like, talk about fucking going missing on an army post, dog. Like that's gonna be you. For real.
Dude, 100%, man.
I wanna bring this up in the chat. The fire chick, first off, fire chick, I've never seen you in here before. Welcome in. I appreciate the shit out of you being in What's here, up? Okay? A resident has to complete their residency before they're considered a doctor. They still went through medical school and are performing medical exams and procedures, but aren't real fucking doctors. Exactly. That is probably the best fucking example I have seen anybody relate to this entire shenanigan, dude.
Because that's a great civilian example, too, to make it so that, yeah.
It is, dude, because how many – first off, this is not just a military thing where you're holding a position that may be above your whether it's your real pay grade or your pay grade, right? Because that's a colloquialism right. that even civilians use, right? People do this all the fucking time, man. You understand that. And Chris, you and I were on the phone the other day. We were talking about the duties and responsibilities of a first sergeant. I've been an acting first sergeant before too. But I would never come on here and be like, oh, yeah, man, I left the Air Force as a first sergeant. No fucking way. I never held that rank. I just held that position for a temporary small amount of time. That's it.
Yep.
Absolutely. And Dorito, bro, if you want to fucking call in too, you go right ahead, motherfucker. You're handsome ass over there. Just fucking
Although I will say this. Do you guys think that the reason that she picked him was because she had to find the one person that could guzzle more cum than her?
Bro, first off, that's a feat in and of itself, okay? I just want to say.
I was wondering that.
Because I want to point this out too, man, because we all know what bukkake is, okay? Who do you think in a video, who do you think is going to win?
Hold on,
what I want to do.
Boone's,
is it horse season or not?
Boone's asking for a friend. What's bukkake? Just for a friend.
Oh, what, you want me to explain
I'm
this?
I'm going to Google it. Hold on, I'm going to Google
it. Bro, who doesn't know what bukkake is?
Safe mode, bro. Safe mode.
Bro, yeah. Hey, listen. Hope there are no kids around. Bukkake, dog. How do I know how to spell
it? Hold on. Write that down. Spell it again.
Write that down. Write that down.
I'll Google it later. It's fine.
Adam says, yeah, hey, listen. Do it on your private time, okay? Maybe light a few candles, get a fucking robe on, get weird, maybe have another fucking glass of Travelers.
He's on his work computer right now, too.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't do that. I'm just warning you right now, big dog. Do not do that, bro. And listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're about to up your culture level because bukkake is a Japanese thing. So,
well, he's like going to go straight from that. He's gonna go straight from that just good porn,
bro.
Incognito is your friend, bro.
Bro, I'm gonna tell you right now, as a cyber dude, it doesn't fucking matter, and I will pull that shit up ASAP on your work computer. Incognito mode, dog. Listen, there's a million different types
Siri.
Of metadata on your computer, right? Yeah.
Hey, whoa, hey, don't say that. I got fucking earbuds in.
Hey, pull up. Pull up this video. Yeah, fuck no, dude. Absolutely, man. And on that note, right, I don't even know what the hell we were talking about. We got on, Tim Walz and Jizz.
Tim Walz, man.
No, that's a great question about him. No, but the reason I think, I actually had this conversation with a good friend of mine earlier today. Why did she pick Tim Walz? Because he was like, yeah, she picked Tim Walz because he's that Midwestern dad. And he actually, you know, he makes the left look more central. And I'm like, no.
I'd like to get your take on that.
Yeah, makes Kamala look more centrist because he's way more fucking far left than she is. And to my point, who the fuck removes the sexual orientation language that I was just talking about for pedophiles, right? So he's there to make her look more centrist, in my opinion.
Right, but J.D. Vance is weird, right?
J.D. Vance, well,
that's for the
right?
talking
JK.
Point. Right. Now, go for it, bud.
So – now, I guess if we don't know these folks, you'll never really know how they believe and whatever else. But we've all seen folks inside whatever offices and units and teams and organizations you've worked for where there's yes folks, right? There's yes folks. And it doesn't matter what their actual beliefs are. They're going to say yes to anything and everything that moves the momentum forward for progression.
Oh, bro.
Do you really think that, I mean, are these some of these folks, is this their belief? Or is this just, they're like, oh man, that's a hot fucking button. I think it's
bottom line, bro.
I'm going to send it, man. I'm going to fucking send this shit. We're going to make the wildest whatever stuff. We're going to change the state flag. We're going to put tampons in the boys' bathrooms. Just everything that's fucking.
I'm going to replace the state flag with the Somali flag.
Right. Just fucking
yeah, send it. Boone, I think it's simpler than that, man. I think that there are just some people in the world that literally don't have a soul. Like the whole, like, you can sell your soul to the devil. I think that's like a real thing, whether you believe in Christianity or not. Like, there comes a certain point where you can trade on your integrity so much that, yeah, you'll get to the place where you will absolutely drink a gallon of horse cum if that's what gets you ahead in life. Like straight up, I really think that's
the thing. That was literally an episode in Jackass where Chris Pontius went and drank. He looks at the camera, he goes, sorry, dad, and then chugs some fucking horse cum, right? You know what I have to say about that? Nay. You wouldn't catch me doing that, dog.
I mean, you know, so you know who, sometimes.
Hey, Chris, you know who's in the fuck? You know who's in the lobby right now, bro?
Who?
I'm going to show you.
And it's there he
boy.
Is.
There he is, bro. Oh, my God. It's a boy.
Sir, it's First Adam, Lieutenant of the Civil Air Patrol, right, Adam Dorito. Yeah, oh,
hey, stand by. Stand by.
Yeah. Oh, is it this one? Hold on.
It's both of them. Hey, First Lieutenant, or Second Lieutenant Dorito, how's it going, sir?
You guys just jump in.
I'm going to get that PowerPoint slideshow to you first thing in the morning.
He's working on the font. He's got to put it all on Arial.
Yes,
double space. I need Calibri light, dog. Get it out there.
Oh, man. Adam's good to see you, bro.
I want to get your take on this whole fucking Tim Walz deal, dude.
Yeah, so my perspective, just because... You know, he was with a conventional unit, but like getting to the rank of sergeant major, working up to a deployment, like you're the only person in that position. So dropping out right beforehand, you're fucking over all the guys and all your platoon leaders and your platoon sergeants right before deployment.
Yeah.
Having to have somebody step in at last minute, like it's a huge dick move. So. You know, at the end of the
day. Well, and you can speak to this a little bit more, Adam, than the other guys can, because I'm not really quite sure how the promotion system works in the National Guard versus the regular army. But I know, like, for you guys, because it's such a smaller pool of people, too, like, in order to be that rank, like, how many other people are denied the opportunity to do that? Because it's all, like, intra-battalion, right? Or yeah, who's allowed to fill that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you're on active duty orders on the Guard, like, you're still going to be able to fulfill the mission, you know, on the same structure. But there's way less people to fill that role. So you're going to basically have to, like, move up a bunch of E7s last minute and then change that entire structure for each individual company. And it just makes things way more complicated than necessarily working with a battalion commander. So,
well, so right. Chris, and like, Chris I, and Adam, like I was I just trying want to say real fast, I want to ask you this question. Okay. Cause I was Air Force. Obviously you guys are Army. So a chief in the Air Force, his main responsibility is unit manning, right? And that goes up by level depending on what your responsibility is, right? Whether you're a squadron chief, a group chief, wing chief, whatever. Okay. Is a sergeant major in the Army, is one of his primary responsibilities manning in the unit? And I say this, and before you answer the question, as a chief, you are going to know through back channels way fucking before orders actually drop for a deployment that there's a deployment for the unit coming, because your job is literally to allocate personnel and resources. Is that the same for the Army?
That point.
I mean, yeah, for the most part, but in reality, like, you're working at the battalion level, so you're also doing, like, the mission planning with the S3, making sure people and personnel and assets...
Probably talking to S2, collecting intel, all kinds of shit. S4, right? Talking about fucking what you're going to need, all that shit, right?
Yeah, you're coordinating between all the S shops, and then, you're the enlisted master for all the S shops and the companies, and then you're reporting it to the battalion commander on the officer side, right? So
Air Force is a little different. We have an E8 that manages the S4 side, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, basically he just, like, said, fuck this, I'm not doing it, and that's, like, not cool.
Got you. No, that's my thing, man. My problem is, I get it, right? I was arguing with some fucking dickhead on Instagram, right? And I have no problem saying that because he doesn't know who I am, but I know who he is. About this, I don't care that it doesn't bother me, dude. If he were to say, like I was saying here, right? Yes, I've acted as an acting unit first sergeant before, but I was in no way a first sergeant. I did not attend the First Sergeant Academy. I did not wear a diamond at all. Okay. My problem is not that he held that rank. And if he said I was a sergeant major at some point and I was acting that position, it wouldn't bother me.
Hey, Brandon, before you finish this question, I apologize to cut you off. That was the time that I had tonight. I got to go pick my my wife up from helping to set up this wedding. I love you guys so much. Keep your sticks on the ice. And I'll, I'll see you guys back next week. Live fire every Friday night. Boone, I love you, dude.
Love you, man.
Appreciate you, dog. But no, what I was saying is essentially that – what was I saying? My fuck, Chris threw me off. My problem is that he was saying that he's a retired command sergeant major and using it for clout and using it for political gain. That's my issue.
Don't do that. It makes you look like a huge faggot. Don't do that.
And to top it off, dude, the fucking Biden-Harris campaign changed his bio yesterday to reflect that he only temporarily held that position. So if it isn't a problem and it's not true, why are you changing the position quietly behind the scenes?
Well, it's like it's just psychological operations, right? I mean, they are really doing information campaigns right now against the American public. It's blatantly obvious. And what I don't understand, like, we've been talking about this for weeks, I'm not saying we're freaking Joe Rogan here, but they've been doing this for weeks with the Biden, Harris, Waltz, whatever campaign. And it's so blatantly obvious, but everyone here has a 30-second memory, and there's constantly
Dude.
Way to do it.
No, you fucking nailed it, bro. The memory on people and the way you're free. We've talked about this actually when you were on with us talking about Ukraine. So many people forget that the Russians and the Ukrainians first have been going at this for a while, that Russia invaded Ukraine when Obama was still president. A lot of people forget this shit. And I think the fact that we're all on this 24-hour news cycle is what totally engenders all of this. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, it's because people can't think for you're constantly reiterating things. Like, for example, I was on like a Colorado GOP call the other day, and they're talking about like, hey, what do we need to do for this election? And these, no offense, boomers that are throwing grenades down the stairs towards the millennials and the genders are like, what do you think are some of the issues we're talking about that convince people to vote Republican? I'm like, you're trying to figure out talking points now? We're less than 100 days out from the election, and you have no idea what you're doing in order to convince people to vote for conservative values. So this is the main issue here, that people are so unbelievably misinformed. They don't know where to get their data from. You know, like, one thing I always say is, like, if you really want some really good open source intelligence news, like, podcast-wise, listen to Breaking Points with Sagar and Crystal Ball. Like, it's
a... That's a great podcast.
Like, it's a Republican-Democrat on each side. But they talk about the issues that really matter from a very fair point perspective. And that's where I get a lot of my open source intelligence from, what's going on in the world and what's going on domestically, because it's things that the news isn't talking about. And they do a really good job of breaking those things down.
Yep.
Dude, and another one I just want to shout out, a Twitter page is really good, is OSINT Defender. If you guys are unfamiliar, that's another great page for some OSINT Defender. Yeah. But Adam Wise, I'll have you, man. I'm going to share the screen. I'm going to pull up this next article, or it's really not even an article. It is it's a Twitter shot, and I'm going to pull it up here real fast so everybody can see. Adam, can you see it? This is from the Crown Prosecution Service. This is in the UK, obviously, right? Think before you post. Content that incites violence or hatred isn't just harmful. It can be illegal. Okay, and I'm going to kill the screen so we can have a conversation about this.
Yeah, like, the UK was literally threatening to extradite people to the UK over hateful content on the internet. I mean, this is exactly what Mel Gibson... Right. Hatchet through their heads in The Patriot, which is an amazing documentary. You know,
I love that you called it a documentary, bro.
That's what it is.
Aim small, miss small, bro.
Yeah, I mean, these people, I mean, this is the problem. This is what's going to happen in the United States eventually, is that we're having such a massive illegal immigrant problem that when it starts coming to your front door, then you're going to see Americans' attitudes change. And anyone who's been to the UK or Ireland or Scotland or anything knows that, like, very small over there. It is very tiny. And it is much easier to see these people taking over your culture and invading every time. And it's extremely...
I love that you said that.
Extremely dangerous, because it is going to come here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that you said that. And you... No, go ahead, Boone. Go ahead, Boone.
No, it's... So my thing about it all is, it's... if you control speech, it's threatening legal and illegal entities. It's fucking... It's subjective, right? Who gets to define what is threatening and what is, inciting violence? And so if that's left to a person or an entity or an organization within the government, how on earth can you, as a citizen, learn what you can and can't do, right? Mm-hmm.
So here's, I'm going to tie it back to something that we were just talking about when I talked about the United States and its allies, okay? And Adam, please jump in whenever you feel like it, because you're the intel guy, right? Okay. So I asked this question because I don't see it posed enough. Is the world is heading towards World War III, okay? I think we can all kind of agree on that, right? There is another power in the Pacific that's challenging the United States for global hegemony. And if you're not familiar with that word, it just basically means being the top dog around the world, okay? And that's China, all right? Do you really want Kamala Harris and Tim Walz leading the United States into a future where there is a power like China and Iran and Russia challenging the United States around the world and then potentially getting into a hot conflict with them? And I don't see that question posed to these guys enough, and I don't think that there's enough focus on that specific idea, right? And I say this because it scares me more than anything to think about having Kamala Harris be the president during World War III for the United States. And when we talked about having allies, the UK arguably is probably one of our more loyal allies that we have. They go to bat for us. They're there. They were there for the GWAT for us. And that ally is going more and more towards an authoritative state more than anything. Okay, they're over here arresting people for their comments on social media. They're seemingly preferring to save the feelings of their Muslim invaders, essentially, because that's what's happening. Their culture is completely and totally being taken over. So my question is, how much longer do you think we're going to have an ally like that when they're more and more moving towards being a fascist state, right? And then having a group of people like Kamala Harris and Tim Walz moving the United States forward, potentially towards more global conflict.
Well, and this is also why you're seeing a lot of the European countries bind together and do their own thing. I mean, even Rheinmetall, which is one of the main military manufacturers in Germany, started moving in their own assets because they currently do not see the United States as a reliable ally to combat Russia when it comes to NATO. So they are building up their own defenses. They are allocating their own equipment. They are even training up their own personnel, but they're also having a recruiting issue as well. I mean, you're even seeing the French Foreign Legion taking more personnel right now than they ever have before. They aren't currently in their planning stages. They're not relying on the U.S. to be a reliable ally because they know, 80% of our naval like combat forces are basically sitting off the coast of Israel and the Persian Gulf.
Right. There's 12 there.
Right. So they know where our alliances rely, and they know that right now EUCOM has taken a secondary seat, minus just trafficking weapons and everything up there. But the problem, and we've discussed this in the past as well, Ukraine is so unbelievably corrupt when it comes to weapons transfers mm-hmm. and laundering. It's hard to keep up with it. We called this out in the way beginning of the war. I mean, Zelensky and his friends are buying houses and land in the United States. His wife just ordered a multi-million dollar Bugatti, and this is all being funded by the U.S. taxpayers, but nobody wants to admit it. You can't get those types of materials without it being very prevalent in the Middle East without someone saying something. But even when I was there, when the war was kicking off, 80% of the material we were shipping over there through Germany was going missing on the rail cars, going through the Eastern Bloc countries before they even got to Ukraine. Where is it going? And this is something I would encourage people to look into. I actually interviewed Sergeant First Class Chris Franck about it yesterday, who is the guy who got me back in the Army as a recruiter.
Great interview.
But he was over in Bosnia-Herzegovina in 95 and 96. And I tell people this.
Oh, damn.
You know, the people you don't want to fight are a bunch of jacked white dudes who know jujitsu. You know what I mean?
The Chechens, dude?
Yeah, the Chechens, the Bosnians, the Serbs, things like that. My biggest fear, and this is like me just thinking about the future, all those weapons that we've sent over there that have gone missing, what is going to happen to them if they decide that they're going to fight their own war because they can't rely on the United States? There's a bunch of javelins. There's a bunch of M4s missing. There's a bunch of tanks that have gone missing in Ukraine. What's going to happen in the next 10, 15, 20 years, right? You have some of these Eastern Bloc countries there, especially in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Some of them want to go back to Russia. They want to go back to the USSR because for them, things were better. When they got their independence, they became poorer, they became more corrupt. They don't have jobs. And they're like, oh, this is democracy. This is what American democracy is. Well, we don't want it. We actually want to go back to kind of a communist state because everyone just kind of generally had the same shit. It wasn't great, but we had something. And this
is Adam, the- if I if I could just make a small point in comparison too, and bring in something else into it. If you remember when the surge with ISIS was surging back in like 2015, there were a lot of people that in that region that wanted ISIS to take over, even though they knew they were going to be limited with the extreme Sharia law that they were going to impose on them, because ISIS went through and was repairing electrical lines. They were putting water back into people's homes. They were doing all and providing security, right? And they were providing policing duties, right? This guy over here ripped me off with fucking fruit last week in my store. They went over and they actually enforced the law. So there's some sort of law and order going on. So even when you're dealing with extremes, right, of ideology and law and religion, some people would rather have that because it's safety. I mean, that's the point you're trying to make, essentially, right?
Well, and this is actually what you pointed out is what ISIS and some of the Syrian defense forces were doing when we were over there, is they were drilling water wells. They were providing food, water, and electricity, which, as I say, if you want to see societal collapse, if you want to see civil war, take those three things away. This is why Americans aren't at civil war right now. We can fight about political ideology. You can fuck with people's mail. You can say Trump, Kamala Harris, whatever you want. But until my water shuts off, until I can't charge my cell phone, and when food gets so extensively high or scarce, then you're going to see people start fighting each other. And this is a predecessor to that would be like if Trump actually had gotten assassinated, I would say like the boys.
Dude, my God.
That had happened, right? And this is my biggest fear for the election is, what if Trump doesn't win? What is going to happen? I do not think that there's a single normal-minded American in this country that's going to believe that this time. They were able to pull it off in 2020. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off in 2024. And for anyone who forgets, in the late 80s, early 90s in this country, with the Bill Clinton elections, this is why the Oklahoma City bombing occurred. Timothy said the elections were corrupt, and they went in there and they killed a bunch of Americans. And these guys know how to use explosives. And there's people in Colorado who have their own goddamn missile silos, and they've been prepping for years, right? This is a different level of American. These are the disaffected voters. These are the people that are not involved in the system that are sitting and watching to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And that is my biggest fear for the United States, is because unlike the Syrian defense forces and ISIS, where they're providing these things to the population and convince them to work with each other, there's already their own privatized militia groups and groups that train together out here in the woods, and they're ready for this. They are not going to put up with it. And I fear for what's going to happen to this country if Trump doesn't actually get elected, because I think you're going to see some actual skirmishes and inner violence. Because even Kamala Harris said the other day, I am going to ban assault rifles, whatever that means, because that's not a real term. I'm going to force extra background checks. I'm going to do these things. That's clearly unconstitutional. That's exactly what the UK is doing. Freedom of speech. I mean, and some Americans are just going along with it because, like I said, they still have their food, they still have their water, they still have their electricity, so they're not paying attention. But it's like the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, it's every little thing is constantly taking things away, constantly maneuvering towards this more totalitarian state. And I don't know how many Americans are going to be putting up with this when they decide to actually enact their freedoms here with their guns, so to speak. So.
Dude, that's a point that I make all the time and have. I mean, I've even pulled clips from this, and it may have been from the episode that we talked about, is that the social contract that holds everybody together only lasts until the food and water runs out, because those are, when you talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food and water is it, baby. And at the end of the day, if no one's getting that shit, we're going to fucking be fighting over it. And to Chris's point, when he talks about this, man, if you're going to be somebody, you're going to be a prepper, you're going to buy ammo, you're going to buy guns, you better fucking know how to use them, because people that do know how to use that shit are going to be running around. And if you don't know how to use your fucking gun, you got a stockpile of 10,000 weapons or 10,000 rounds of ammo and a bunch of boxes of food, you are what we call a loot drop, dog. And that's you, man. Somebody is going to come to your fucking house.
Yep. And like I said.
Boone, you look like you have something you wanted to say, man.
Even if Trump doesn't win, yes, that's an immediate scenario, right? But what happens if Trump wins, and what's after 4 years? So either way, to me, my thing is this scenario happens regardless of what happens in November.
Dude, that's the thing. Adam was talking about this when we had him on a couple of weeks ago, that Trump has to set up a legacy. And that's kind of his purpose here with J.D. Vance and some of the other millennials that Adam has seen him pick when he's been at Mar-a-Lago. And Adam, really, there's no one better to talk about this than you, because you've actually been there, brother. Will you go ahead and speak on that a little bit more?
Yeah, so Trump's entire strategy right now for the next 4 years and into the next election cycle, even in 2023, okay, all of his staffers are between the ages of 22 and basically 40. His objective right now is to get as many young people into the administration and the Republican Party now to start changing out the old guard. And this is the biggest fight that we're dealing with right now, is that the boomers do not want to give up their power. They do not want to give up their positions within the Republican Party. They have spent years being unemployed and retired, and they like being stuck with society because it doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect their taxes. It doesn't affect anything in their communities because they've already done it for 20, 30 years. But now you're seeing the millennials who lived through 2008 financial crisis, 20 years of the global war on terror, and even Gen Z.
11.
What the fuck is going on, right? So Trump's strategy right now, and that's why he brought in J.D. Vance, is to give the green light for younger people to run for office and start replacing people. And it's a, honestly, in my opinion, it's a bigger fight than even fighting the Democrats. We know what the Democrats stand. We know exactly what they're going to say. We know what their talking points are. But the
building a roster.
The Republican Party to actually work together with a younger leadership generation, and it's one of the difficult things I've seen in the last 14 years I've worked in D.C.
I'm so glad you said that, and I want to ask you a question. Do you feel that this election is for the Republicans to lose and more than the Democrats to win? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're 100% correct.
Yep. Agree. Yeah. Also. Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, Adam, to all your points, man, I mean, it does concern me because, you know, the boomer generation doesn't seem to really understand that they are the ones that put us here, right? They're the ones that have fostered the way the U.S. government has gone. And they're spending too long governing this country. It's a gerontocracy, right? So old people are running this country. And I want to get both you and Boone, I want to get your opinion first on this, is we talk about term limits a lot, right? And that term limits need to be a thing. But do term limits really solve the unelected bureaucrats that can sit in their positions long enough? Like, how important is it to limit bureaucrats and what they're doing too, and not just elected positions like the Senate and the House?
So I think term limits are like, it's a tool in the toolbox, right? Because right now there are no tools. There is no incentive to not be a congressman or a senator for 60, 70 years, as long as you can make it happen,
it's
right?
It's lucrative.
Right. So for us citizens, a term limit process is a tool to ensure that new blood, new ideas, and I don't know, proper thought processes are given to
linear thought with the generation working right now.
Right, are given to our citizens. Outside of that, the next question that comes into my mind for logistics is, how do we ensure that the right things are carried from term limit one of person A to term limit one of person B, right?
Continuity.
Who's going to keep carrying the torch? Right.
Adam, I see the wheels are turning over there, bro. I love it.
So I actually have thought a lot about this. Kind of like, I think the way the UK Parliament runs it is actually quite effective. They have been around a little bit longer than us, but they actually have more representatives than we do in Congress, right?
Yeah.
And they have term limits over there. You can't run indefinitely. And I think another thing that would actually benefit the U.S. actually having four senators per state, not two. And mm-hmm. also increasing the amount of representatives for every state, because I do not think we're being properly represented. And if you had more people within districts, and like I said, for example, District 3 in Colorado is the entire western side of the state.
That's crazy, dude. That's Denver, right?
That's not Denver. Denver is its own district. District 3.
Oh, no, you said western. My bad. Denver's eastern part. Yeah, my bad.
Like, Denver's its own district. Colorado Springs is its own district. My district is District 8, but even that's more concentrated. But District 3 in Colorado is literally the entire western side of the state, north to south, past the mountains. That's a massive amount of land. And you're telling me that all those people, even though it's a lower population density, can be represented by one person?
No, yeah.
Not. That's insane. So
not
I think,
intelligently.
So I think not only are term limits a good idea, but actually increasing the senators by two for each state, and actually increase the amount of representatives to get more equal representation. I mean, our population has massively increased since the Constitution was written, right? We're at over 300 million people, and you're telling me that whatever 420 plus another 50 senators or whatever, or 100 senators or whatever it is enough to represent 300 million people? Absolutely not.
No, Thomas Jefferson could never fathom the size of the United States as it is right now. Shit, I mean, fucking Europeans can't even fathom the size of the United States right now. No, the unelected bureaucrats thing is, to me, are really, because, okay, let me ask you this, right? Adam, you are guard, right? Or you reserve, right?
Serve now, yeah.
Okay. You're aware of, like, there are civilians that work in military positions because the U.S. government pays them to do those jobs for continuity purposes. I have worked with a lot of civilians that have held jobs since they retired from the military in the fucking 80s when the Cold War was still going on, that cause issues for guys like me, right, who are trying to lead troops in a modern era, and they're holding us back. Like, how much of that do you think is really what happens behind the scenes in a political way, where you've got these bureaucrats that have been fucking sitting there pulling the strings, getting money, getting funding, making decisions on policy, making decisions on tactical level things for 50 years? Like, do you think that that's a bigger problem than the politicians that hold positions essentially for life?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the bureaucracy of the United States and the U.S. military. That's why Vivek and Trump, they want to come in and fire half the federal workforce, and I'm all for it. Federal government is far too big. There's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. And it's like the lady that works the files in the basement in Monsters, Inc. That is literally 80%.
Ross.
They are worthless. They try to do their job as least amount as possible. It's worse than working in a union, right? And they are wasteful spending. I mean, you've been overseas. The amount of millions of dollars we waste because of these bureaucrats that are running the supply office. For example, this is a small example. In Kuwait, it's one of the largest supply bases for any type of fighting another war if we want to, right? They have warehouses and tens of thousands of containers full of war stocks just sitting out there. And nobody's kept good inventory control over that since the first Gulf War. So instead of them actually going through and inventorying and finding out what pieces of equipment or engine parts or munitions or anything we have over there, they just get super fucking lazy. And then they put in another order to put it on another ship to stack more containers in Kuwait at Camp Arif John, because they don't even know what the fuck they have out there. And you're wasting billions of dollars of equipment.
And they just reopened Arif John too. It was closed at one point, not even that long ago.
Yeah. And like I said, they are just war stocking everything out there, and they don't even know what the hell they have out there. Another good example of this is that when all the F-18Cs were crashing and they were running out of parts in the Marine Corps having Class A incidences, it says, well, we have a lack of parts. This is why we're having Class A mishaps. Then they went down to Florida on Eglin Air Force. It was an entire hangar full of parts for the F-18Cs. And because some bureaucrat who's been sitting there for 20 years forgot to log all the equipment into the system in the warehouse.
Yep.
Right? So literally people died because bureaucrats are too lazy to do inventory parts control.
Dude, I could talk about certain things like that on such a smaller scale because of civilians that and correct me if I'm wrong here, and I know I'm not, but that it is almost fucking impossible to fire these fucking civilians essentially that hold DOD positions.
Yep, yeah,
it is impossible to fucking kill somebody basically. Oh, dude, and Boone, you fucking know. I mean, go off, yeah. Dog.
So earlier in my career, yes. When I left the Air Force and went to civil service for the Air Force, bro, we had folks that couldn't do their job, a whole bunch of other things. And essentially the HR folks said, and this is my interpretation, and it's exaggerated. If you don't murder a baby with 17 people as witness, with video evidence and a whole bunch of other stuff and proper paperwork, you can't fire a civilian, man. You can't.
Hmm. No. Dude, I'll give you a fucking example, okay? So when I was in Africa, we had a site survey conducted by some people from the U.S. Air Forces in Europe, okay, which is a major command in the Air Force. And they came down. They asked, well, hey, what are some fucking threat indicators? Where are some things that can be mitigated? Where are some weak points down here, okay? I took these fucking dudes around for almost 4 hours and showed up. We're outside the wire with these fucking cats. I'm explaining them the layouts. I'm showing them this fucking, you know, these locations that are essentially undefended, but U.S. troops are out there. Didn't listen to a fucking thing I said, right?
Yep.
What was the result? This airfield got attacked. Some of these avenues of approach, some of the manners in which these places were attacked happened in the way that we were like, hey, we need you guys to fucking help us out and get some shit down here. And I won't get too, too specific, right? But had they listened to the people on the ground, it wouldn't have happened the way it did, right?
Yeah, so we live in a world where folks don't really want solutions. They really don't. They just want to say, hey,
perpetuate problems, dude.
What's a PowerPoint slide and how can we make this a thing? They don't really want the solution of fire that motherfucker so we can get somebody in here who can really do the job.
And they never will, dude.
Yep.
I've seen it a million fucking times. But one of the next articles I wanted to pull up, because I feel like we've kind of beat this one into the fucking ground, is this article. We're gonna pivot a little bit here to China. I actually may not have shared it in the chat here. Doesn't look like I did. China. We're gonna talk about Evergrande. Okay. How many are you guys familiar with Evergrande? And right now, Evergrande is going through a massive restructure. So if you're not familiar, China is having its own housing crisis. And if you want to listen to somebody really, really talk about it in depth, you can go back and listen to I Came with Fire episode with David Zhang, who is a reporter for the Epoch Times. Somebody who was a Chinese citizen at one point, is now an American, talk about Evergrande and the collapse that's going on over there. But essentially they're restructuring. I appreciate that. Essentially one of the points, and I would love to hear you talk about this and give your opinion on it, Adam, is they're losing a lot of money here, and the capital that they have, which is almost essentially non-existent because they are on the verge of collapse, is going to limit the amount of investment that they can do in the United States. Okay. And I bring that up because of the economic ties that everybody talks about and says will be the savior here, essentially, between the United States and China going to blows and having a hot war. And this is an old argument. I want to recognize that. Okay. Because there was actually a book, and I can't remember the author, who wrote about, and prior to World War One, wrote about how Europe was so economically interconnected that they would never go to war again, and then World War One happened. Okay, so I just want to put that out there and caveat by saying that I don't necessarily think economic ties will prevent conflict at that scale from happening. But my question really here is, do you think China's inability to invest more and essentially perpetuate and continue economic ties with the United States is something that's pushing us closer towards conflict with them, or do you think it's actually something that's cooling off some of the tension? Oh, go ahead, Boone.
Hey, so real quick, before Adam, you jump in on that, to set some parameters, the amount of money that they've lost in liquidation and why they're trying to bring investors back is $23 billion. What they in liabilities is $300 billion. So I just want to make sure we're all setting the parameters, and that's all in property. In their property sector. So just want to make sure we're all squared away that it's $23 billion in losses of offshore accounts and $300 billion in liabilities. Jump in, Adam.
Adam, can you still hear us?
Oh, yeah, I can still hear us. Like I'm falling through the screen. Like we're still talking. So this is actually really interesting because everyone thinks, oh, if we don't have trade deals with China, and if we don't do this, it's going to cost us trillions of dollars. Here's the thing. It's going to cost us, which is why Trump wants to come in and put like 100% tariff on everything that China does. At the end of the day, China's already switched alliances economically to North Korea and Russia and Iran. They realize they can't rely on the United States as a reliable trading partner, even though we do a lot of business with them. But, you know, life will find a way, just like they said in Jurassic Park, right?
Everyone
was going to collapse and they're not going to be able to fund the war machine. And now they're manufacturing tanks just as fast as they're losing them. People always said, oh, Russia's failing. They're losing all this equipment. It doesn't matter because they're still producing it. And that's why they're able to sustain the war fight. That's why their people, even though there are some protests, they're not revolting against it because it is providing jobs. It is making Russia more economically viable. War is good for the economy. And it's great for the Russian, Iranian, and North Korean economies right now because they all have formed an alliance, which is why I say, and people hate this when I say this, the best way to stop the Ukrainian war is to actually form an ally with Russia in order to counter the Sino-Chinese alliance and break up their Iranian military trades with them.
Dude, you got so much fucking hate on Instagram for saying that. when you mentioned that, people called, like, were like telling you essentially that you're fucking dumb for even saying that in the first place.
Well, it's so fucking stupid though, because you know what? Russians are, you know what they are? They're basically like America, because yeah, they might have a different type of government, but they're a Judeo-Christian nation who just wants to be left alone and keep their individuality and keep their own freedoms, even though it's their version of it. It's not ours, but not everyone else is going to be like the United States. And I would much rather be allies with Russians than I would with fucking Iranians or the Chinese.
Oh shit, dude.
Like, yeah. People don't understand this. Like, I'm sorry, but we can't make the United States in every single country. Our democracy doesn't work in these countries. The Middle East will never work on it because they love dictatorships. That's only how
they'd rather be a theocracy.
Exactly. And basically the Orthodox Church runs the Russian government. And I would much rather have people who believe in Christianity, even though I don't believe with their forms of government. That's just how those people live. That's how they've established their empire for over 1,000 years. That's what they want. And we may not agree with it from a freedom perspective, and they imprison their people, whatever else. But you want to know what? We imprison people here, too. I mean, look what we did to freaking Snowden, right? I mean,
we're doing to people like Chris Kuhn.
Exactly, right? I mean, we raid our houses. We just call it American democracy, even though it's in some aspects, it's just as bad as Russian communism. But people don't want to agree with that. Yeah, we have better military. We have cooler shit. We have much better diversity within our culture. Most of our food better, and our cars are better. But that doesn't mean that culture is wrong. But I would much rather work with the Russians than I would work with the Chinese and the Iranians. And the funny thing is that I saw in Syria and Jordan. Like, we were doing, like, combat missions with the fucking Russians. The guys were trading patches and hanging out and doing patrols out in Syria together. And then when it came to Ukraine, we're like, oh, no, we can't do nothing anymore because we're making Putin very mad. You know, but even though they're high-fiving each other in the background and trading MREs. You know?
Right. Dude, and I've worked with so many fucking, partner forces who you consider allies, and then people that we don't really consider allies. And, dude, you're shooting the shit with the equivalent of another E5 or E6 from another fucking country, even if they're like, we're frenemies. Dude,
yeah.
We can immediately find something to relate to. But, dude, at the end of the fucking day, bro, like, those are the people that you're going to be shooting at, and it's all because the people at the top can't get their fucking shit together.
Yeah, and fucking everyone is about Wagner Group, and I'm like, yeah, what do you call BlackWater? The same shit. It's same
shit. Same shit.
It is 100% the same shit, dude. It's a fucking mercenary group that's just Russian. That's it, man.
Yep. Hey, shout out real quick to Dragon McGroin. Fucking love Mantaco, as always. And Fire
Dude,
Chick,
hell yeah. What's up, Dragon?
And Jay Adams, saw you come on.
And Buckeye McGroin. Welcome in, man.
Hell yeah. Those are my folks, dude, from I talk to them all the time. Love you guys.
I fucking appreciate you guys being in here, for sure. And if you guys weren't at the beginning of the show, Chris is in Wisconsin doing his flower girl duties for his sister's wedding. But to jump back in what we were talking about, Adam, how important is India in our positional power in the Pacific, and then, you know, that Central Asian area?
Well, this is actually something the United States fucks up massively when it comes to diplomacy. We think of India as like second-rate citizens for some reason. I don't know if that's because of racism. I don't know if that's a cultural religion thing. But you know who the best people to counter China are? The Indians.
India,
they
bro.
Also have yep. fucking nukes, right? And they buy all of their equipment from the Russians for the most part, minus their own in-country develop stuff. They also are computer geniuses, and they do all the hacking.
They're your AT&T customer service.
Yeah, they also run all your goddamn customer service calls, Microsoft,
right.
And
right
in the refinery. All our freaking tech support guys are Indians, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the best things that Trump could do if he gets into office is reestablish good relations with Modi and actually work in partnerships to actually, one, save us a shit ton of money. They have their own navy. They have their own, you know, submarines. But if we actually show the Indian people respect, which now they actually surpass China in terms of population, we have a huge access to creating a great allyship. So being friends with India and Russia is our best way to defeat terrorism and combat deals around the world.
Yeah. Have you seen any sort of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz foreign policy on that? I haven't.
No, because they just want to talk about taking guns and how bad Orange Man is.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Yes. It's kind of funny. That's one of the main missions in the civil affairs unit I work with right now is Indo-PACOM. So our main mission is going out there and establishing relationships with these small island nations and trying to get people on board. And it's a main focus for the DOD right now. They're actually trying to fund it. to get all these small island nations to work with us, but God, did we suck at it. We are dumping billions of dollars of resources into the Middle East, but then we go to these island nations who legitimately want our help and they want to work with Americans. We're like, here's some MREs and some bottled water. Want to be friends? And it's like,
right.
Dude, I'm so glad you said that, okay? Because I'm going to bring this up, because the way that the United States does foreign diplomacy is fucking dumb, right? When I was in Africa, we were fucking 5 clicks from a port that the Chinese were building for the country that we were in. They go there, they build roads, they build ports, they build railways, they build airstrips, all this shit that can actually be used. And now it comes with an infinite lease for the Chinese to use at any point, right? Because it's essentially a forward operating base for the Chinese. But they show up, they employ the locals, they build them infrastructure that they actually fucking need. And so why wouldn't these people co-sign on whatever the fucking Chinese are trying to do in their country? The United States just sucks at that shit.
Yep. We definitely do. We are really good at building military equipment and blowing you up, but we are really bad at establishing clean water, energy policies, bringing natural gas sources to these nations, which is what they actually, they need access to food, water, and electricity. They don't need a fucking M1 Abrams tank. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Be our friends, we'll give you a tank.
I need one.
Give us food, and then we'll work with you. And we're like, no, how about this tank? And we're like, no, God damn it.
Dude, over there talking to the fucking Sudanese, they're like, hey, you guys ever heard of a whoopee? You want a whoopee? You want to be our friends for a whoopee? We don't need a whoopee. We're close to the equator. No, you need a whoopee. That's what we need. That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to be friends. It's fucking dumb.
Yep.
I really just don't understand it. But that's kind of why I brought up the whole Evergrande thing, man, because, you know, economic ties and the way that the Chinese are doing business and the relationship that we have with them, you know, we talked about it before on the show, the Thucydides trap and both of us accelerating towards war. And this is, if you're not familiar with the Thucydides trap, I apparently have a problem saying that word. It's when two powers are going, essentially a former world power and a new rising power are headed down a path towards competing for essentially hegemony. And eventually what history says is they're going to wind up in global war, right? And in our case, global conflict, right? And back in the day when Thucydides was still around, it wasn't global conflict, right? It was just, you know, Aegean conflict. But I mean, my question really for you guys, I would love to hear, is do you think that there's an exit on this, or do you really feel like we're headed towards that completely and totally? You don't have to raise your question, dog. This ain't third grade, bro.
I raise my hand, bro. I don't know what to do with these. They just kind of float around. Yeah, I don't foresee human capability without more conflict. I don't think there's a process of utopia, right? At some point, we're going to be fighting for water. At some point, we're going to be fighting for food. I've been reading this book that was written in 2014, and it talks a lot about the Bretton Woods Accords. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating, you know, like how many people know that America became energy independent around 2020, which is right around when fucking COVID happened. Was that a coincidence? I don't fucking know. So there's a whole lot of shit that I am not educated in myself enough to be able to talk to great lengths of it.
Hey, Chris is in the chat. He says you can't even read, Boone. That's what he said, man.
Dude, I take my socks off to count, bro. How do you get to 20 without taking your socks off, man? Like,
Thank God for speech to text.
Yeah. And so anyway, at the end of the day, this guy wrote a book in 2014, and he's talking about, hey, you're going to watch shit in the Middle East pop off because at some point there's going to be famine that they have to deal with. You're going to watch all of these smaller island nations that can't keep up with their birth rates. You're going to watch China that can't keep up with its birth rate. And you're going to see famine
Japan.
Go across a whole bunch of shit, right? And, I mean, now, I don't know if it's true or not, but the internet says you can get a contract with Japan to help breed.
No, that's true. You can go over there and help repopulate Japan. You can, dude.
I mean,
you have to meet specific criteria. You know,
Sure, but I mean, how cool is that?
I don't know if
that?
They want gingers or, in Japan, or, but you know, you go ahead and try, dude.
Whoa, ginger, bro! Just because? I mean, really? You're calling that out?
That they? I don't know if they want it, man. You know, they eat ginger, but I don't know if they want gingers. You know,
it's all good.
I don't. But
anyway,
what do you think?
Dude, jump in, Adam.
So I think one of the best ways we can use Japan as an example, right? Look what we did with Japan. We nuked the fuck out of them, killed hundreds of thousands of people, and then said, we're going to help you rebuild your country, and you're going to directly work with us from here on out. And if you fucking touch our boats one more time, then we're going to do the same thing again. And I'm not saying we should go around nuking all these island nations, but the best way to win friends is giving them access to energy. The higher thy nation has access to energy, it will reduce their poverty level. If it can reduce their poverty level, it'll increase their birth rate. If we can increase their birth rate, then we can build more infrastructure. And that's what China's doing with the Belt and Road Initiative. They just suck at it because they don't know how to make concrete and build roads and build cars effectively.
Those are drag.
They are. So if I was president of the United States, what I would be doing is actually using partnerships, using the island hopping campaigns of World War II, and building strong relationships by giving people what they need, not what we think they need. And access to energy is the easiest thing that we can do. We are the largest reserve holders of oil and gas in the world, despite what people think. And we have the technology to do it. I mean, even Eric Prince brought up something really interesting about how to defeat Hamas on one of his podcasts with, I think it was Sean Ryan, where we can use our oil and gas horizontal drilling techniques to actually counter drill the underground tunnels and flood them by being 10 miles away. And not having to do anything. We could just drown all these people and then force the hostages to come out of the tunnels because they don't want the hostages to die. That's their only bargaining chip. We have the technology and ability to do it. We're just not allowing Americans to do it effectively. And there's actually a really great book.
I
want to
say something about that when you're done. Good, continue. Yeah, sorry.
This is my favorite story about World War II that people don't know. It's called The Secrets of Sherwood Forest. It's a great book. And it's about the Anadarko and Noble oil and gas guys in Oklahoma. And what they did was, is that the president of the United States says, hey, I will promise that you guys won't get drafted into the war if you go over and drill for oil and gas in northern England. And they said, okay. So they went over there with all our oil and gas equipment. That's how we were able to win World War II, was because they developed the technology of coil tubing, and they were able to oil and gas drill in England. And as a result, we were able to make the airplane fuel and the boat fuel that we needed without running the risk of transporting it from the United States and having the German U-boats sink it. So once again, access to energy is actually what won World War II. It's an unknown secret. I encourage everyone to go read that book. They should make a fucking movie out of it. They have two identical statues. One is in Nottingham, the UK, and one of them is in Oklahoma. It's the oil and gas worker, right? But if we actually just gave these people access to energy, it's the best way, at least a non-invasive way, of dealing with these countries and not destroying their culture and not being too invasive.
I agree. The thing I was going to say about it is you were talking about essentially like why we're not getting rid of Hamas or why we don't get rid of Hamas. Dude, the thing is, I think the biggest thing that no one likes to talk about, and I rarely hear people say this, is the fact that Israel, despite what they're doing, wants Hamas because it allows them to not have a two-state solution. Because if you're just dealing with Hamas, then you can sit there and say, well, I have no one to partner with because my literal partner that I could be partnering with is a terrorist state. So, and when you have countries like Israel and the United States partnered up, right, they're our greatest ally, essentially. But Israel wants, and they do, through the Qatari government, fund Hamas. They're never going to get rid of them because it allows them to essentially have the perfect excuse to not have a two-state solution.
There is no way to have a two-state solution in Israel because you're working with unreasonable people. These are terrorists. Right. It's really sad that these kids are raised to hate Jews, but that's just the way they are. Anyone who's been overseas in the Middle East knows this. And Israel used October 7th as their green light to, we hate to say this word, is to commit genocide against these people. The only way to get them to stop is to kill either all of them or kill enough of them that they're willing to agree to your peace terms, because there is absolutely no way to establish a Palestinian state. If it was as easy as that, then Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and all those surrounding Lebanon would have helped them establish a state. Hell, you can give them the western side of Saudi Arabia. There's nothing fucking out there. You know, who cares? But even the Saudis won't do it, right? So that just tells you if their own brothers, so to speak, are unwilling to give them a two-state solution, then why should the Israelis?
And that's the point I'm trying to make here, is that Israel wants to have Hamas in charge of those people because it's a perfect excuse to continue to try and, like you said, genocide all these people, right? So that they can have just a one state thing. They don't want a two state solution because it's not what's good for them.
Well, they don't. They want to wipe out Israel. They want to take them off the face of the earth. There's no question in my mind that Hamas wants peace. They do not. No, they don't.
And that's kind of, I think maybe I'm not explaining this or what I'm trying to say well enough, is that Israel prefers having Hamas in charge of the Palestinians because it gives them license to continue to behave this way.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can't have a partnership when your partner is a mob boss.
Pretty much.
Right. There's no such thing as peace. Can we go ahead and establish that as the baseline? There's no such thing as peace.
Yeah, as long as human beings are involved, there won't be, okay? Because this is where the communists get this wrong, right? Communism gives no incentive for competition, right? And it assumes that no one is going to want to be competitive. But human beings are inherently competitive, which is why capitalism is a successful model when it's not being co-opted by people who are fucking corrupt and pieces of shit, right? Human beings are going to compete. That's what's gotten us to this fucking point. The biological attributes, immutable attributes that we all have as men and women got us to this fucking point. And human beings being willing to compete with one another and make better shit is what's got us here, right? So it's never going to be anything until none of that exists inside the human brain, which is never going to happen. Which is why there will always be somebody who's sitting at the top of the mountain, so to speak, the United States is currently. And that dichotomy of not wanting to be the world's police, but also needing to be the world's police, because the world you grew up in was a world where Americans were number one without a competitor, is something you got to come to terms with. And so the United States is kind of growing a conscience right now at a very inconvenient time. And it might sound shitty to fucking say that, but that's the goddamn truth.
Right. Yeah. No, I am absolutely ready for the lizard people or the aliens or what was that movie with Will Smith where, you know, we all fucking collectively go and fight somebody else as the human species. I'm ready for that, bro. It's easy to do as a humanity.
Well, I think we've kind of beat this one into the ground here. We'll jump into it. We're going to wade into the comments. So if you're in here, go ahead and don kit, helmets, plates. If you've got level 4 plates, I highly recommend them. We're going to wade into the comment section here and kind of wrap this one up. But in reference to our Bukkake joke earlier, I'm going to play the classic Trump video here real fast.
I'm going to do it.
No.
And Boone, if you really don't know what that is, brother, I hope you're ready for a shock at the end here. Our comment section is always a fucking shit show. And this week it was a really big shit show because we had people that didn't even know that they've met me in person arguing with me. We had a lot of really butthurt people about Tim Walz and his military career, and then a lot of butthurt people about Taylor Swift. So without further ado. Hell yeah.
I love that song. I love that song.
Dude, Roxanne actually is like the perfect way. If you're going to listen to a song and do PT, Roxanne is perfect. Because if you want to do something, you just make like, let's say like up downs or push ups. You've got to do a push up every time he says Roxanne. You'll get smoked by the end of it, dude.
Yep.
That's a perfect one. All right. So we're going to wade into the comments over here. And we're going to talk about some of the stupidity. So give me a second while I pull these up. Man, there were some angry people in here. Adam, did you see any of these fucking comments this week, dude?
Oh, I even got some great ones in my inbox saying I was a terrible fucking person. I even made a post about it and tagged
That's true. You did. Here, stand by. I'm going to go ahead and share this screen here. You come on our page and you say stupid shit. I'm going to pull you up. And I also pinned this one. So, Adam, this is one that you tagged us in. This was a collab post from you. And I'm specifically talking about this right here, this gentleman, Mr. Steven Mendoza. I'm not going to go through all 36 fucking replies here. But apparently to him, we're a dinky podcast, and fair enough. We only have about 1600 followers, which we love all of you dearly. Go ahead.
This kid is such a fucking idiot. I literally know more E2s that have more commendation medals and everything else than this fucking command sergeant major. We were giving him out like candy when we were overseas, right? Like, this guy obviously does not know how the Army works, and a commendation medal, an achievement medal, and proficiency ribbons, like, that's your baseline minimum from anything.
It is.
Right.
And so something I want you to know, Adam, is this person is an Air Force senior NCO. He's a senior NCO. And if you go through and you read all these comments, you're going to see that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about at all. He also doesn't realize that I know who he is, which I think is even funnier. But yeah, no, this is probably, if you want to read some butthurt shit, you guys that are watching this, I highly recommend going through and reading this stuff. Let me pull to the messages here, because we always talk about the dumb things. We're going to go to the messages here. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Wait, what was that one, bro? Like, can we go back to that for just a second?
I don't know. This is delete the internet. This is somebody's fucking spam comic duels. These fucking people paid by these fucking hookers.
What happens in Thailand stays in Thailand, bro.
Apparently. I hate that when you follow a page and then some fucking hooker pays them to fucking put up their trash. That's probably what that is.
I'm never mad at them.
This one right here. So this is from YouTube. We don't acknowledge the YouTube followers enough over here. But this person, here we go. Keeping with the theme, right? Kinky Tail Mopogo. Mopogo? I don't know. Says they love this page. Subscribed. And then I called somebody named Kelly a baby because they got butthurt because they don't understand the difference between men and women. So I just want to shout out some positivity real fast here. Yeah, man, the comments are always a fucking shit show. You guys, the most important comment section for sure is the live chat that's in here. And we appreciate you guys. Let's see who we got in here, dude. We got Man Taco, as always, Common Freaking Sense. We got James Adams from Alpha Armory.
Buckeye.
BR New. Buckeye on the groin.
Yep.
We got this fucking weirdo, Adam Dorito. I heard he likes Costco hot dogs. We've got Fire Chick. Adam, have you talked to Wes recently?
Yeah, he always texts me on Twitter at like 10 o'clock at night or later. And we talked about glizzies again, because this guy really loves the fact that Costco hot dogs are his main investment in his portfolio. So
I'm going to go ahead and step out on a branch or a limb here and assume he probably just likes the idea of you sticking phallic-shaped foods in your mouth.
Hey, man, we just got $20 from Dragon McGroin.
Holy shit, dude. Dragon McGroin, you guys are talking about some very important topics tonight. Love the show, and we'll spread the word. Thank you so fucking much. Holy crap, dude. That's amazing. Like, the fact that anybody's in here, first off, I fucked this shit up at the beginning, dude. Like, I fucking couldn't get the live going the right way. Chris runs the live. I tell the fucking jokes, basically. And I
fucking cell phone.
Dude, Adam is jumping in for his fucking cell phone. Coming in here from the left.
Beauty. I bring the beauty.
Dude, Eric. Dude, all these people in here right now, man. Just thank you so fucking much. That means the world. Adam, appreciate you jumping in. Nick, short notice. Hey, man, you want to sit second chair? So the fact that we got $20 from somebody means the fucking world. Dragon, thank you very, very, very much.
Thanks for supporting.
Dude, absolutely. Adam, I want to give you the opportunity to plug your channels real quick, bro.
Yeah, sure. So my biggest thing is Instagram, adam.dorito2010. I do a lot of intel stuff. My main objective is doing military reform bills in Washington, D.C. You can go to adamdorito.com and learn more about that. I run the Tuxes and Tomahawks podcast, which is my main open podcast. I also do Dark Saber, which is my federal military academy channel for reducing sexual assault and harassment within the military. So that's my main mission. That's what I do. But I love jumping on I Came With Fire and Two Mics Live occasionally doing the intel work and really pushing the mission of getting younger people into our government and taking back everything from the boomers so we don't have to send our kids through their 20 years of war.
Hey, man, bro. Thank you so much. Nick, I know you're,
love you, bro.
You're a big supporter of the channel too, man. And honestly, you've helped me out with some personal shit too. So, and you're a good recommender of whiskey. So thank you so much for jumping in and, you know, doing this with me on such short notice. I truly appreciate it. Listen, you guys, head on over to Instagram, which is where we do the majority of our posting. Give us a follow, give Common Freaking Sense, which is Chris, who's normally here with me tonight, running the fucking controls. Give him a follow. Give the Common Sense Network a follow, which is a confluence of a couple of different people we've got going, trying to build our own channel. Us, Great Girth Podcast, Adam. Every once in a while, we'll get Aaron Love jumping in there from Plain Language and the War Room. And One's Ready. Aaron's a busy guy. But give us a follow, man, and hit us up and let us know what you want to see us talk about. If anybody, and you guys make, Nick, you've made plenty of recommendations about people coming on, and we've got those people scheduled. If there's somebody you guys want to see us talk to, point them out to us, or somebody who deserves to, you know, to be a part of the community and can help us out and we can cross post with them, just let us know, man. That's what Chris and I's main focus here is. We're trying to build an online community. So far, it's been really successful. We have some awesome people in it here in the chat, and we truly, truly appreciate it. But Adam, thanks so much for calling in from work, bro. I know that you're probably busy. Hope you're not getting in any trouble. But yeah, guys, nope. Thank you so much.
What's that? It was just me and my coworker Ted. There's Ted. Ted, say hi. You're live.
What's up, Ted?
Is that your Thunder buddy?
Yeah, it's my Thunder buddy. Yep.
Hell yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been another episode of the Live Fire. Chris will be back next week. Adam, I think you're on with us then again, aren't you?
Yeah, 23rd. I'll definitely be on if you guys need me to. So.
Hell yeah. Adam and his mustache will be back next week. Fuck yeah. Thank you guys so much for turning
fucking
in to
love
Live Fire.
This show.
Did I love you? And we love everybody who watched.
I love you.
If you're new here and you haven't hit that follow button, please do. Give us a like. Follow us over on Instagram. Follow us. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Rumble, obviously, because here we are. And we'll see you guys next fucking Friday, 7 p.m. PST, 10 p.m. EST.
Later.
Later.
Later.